Hello, and welcome to my podcast. My name is Avi Heller, and together we will be studying the Talmudic Tractate of Megillah. This series is a project of the Orthodox Union Synagogue Services Department, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. This first recording is just an orientation for those who may not have learned Gemara before or want to get oriented. If you want to start with the Mishnah, go to the second recording. As we are about to begin our study together, a few introductory comments are in order. Number one, the goal of this podcast is to help newer students to Gemara succeed in learning and mastering the simple reading of the daf and following the flow of the Gemara. By the end of each daf, you should feel as if you know the meaning of all the words and can follow the flow of the Gemara's argument. However, in order to master the daf, I recommend that you review the entire daf at least once and preferably with a study partner. In addition, I will attach for each daf some study words related to the material at hand and to Gemara study in general. I've only chosen a few words for each daf so it's not overwhelming, but learning these words will slowly and surely improve your Gemara skills to the point where you can learn independently. Number two, since this podcast focuses on essential skills, we will not engage in fancy stuff like brisker chakiras, extended analysis of the positions of Rishonim, or commenting on how issues in the Gemara become reflected in contemporary practice. There are some wonderful podcasts that do that, but we will not. However, I will add in a comment or two in those areas from time to time just to keep it interesting. Each of these podcasts will be short, 15 to 20 minutes max, to make it easy to listen to. I hope to cover each daf in four installments. Number four, I assume that you have a Gemara to study with, along with a pencil and a straight edge. I recommend having a real paper Gemara, the standard Vilna Shas, that is just Hebrew Aramaic. There are definitely benefits to using an art scroll or a Koran English version or using an online daf display, but I think that being able to take pencil notes in the margin of your Gemara is the best way to learn. Number five. Tractate, or Masechet Megillah, is mostly about the holiday of Purim. However, instead of calling it Purim, the tractate focuses on the reading of the Megillah, when, who, how, why, etc. Included in this discussion, beyond that, are some sections on Torah reading in synagogue, the blessing of the Kohanim, Birkat Kohanim, and the writing of Tefillin and Mezuzot, and some other material. There's also some lengthy Agadic sections that tell stories and interpret major sections of the Megillah. Some of those are famous, and many of them are a lot of fun. Number six. Megillah is the 10th tractate in the order of Moed, which is about all the sacred times. It has approximately 31 dapim, so we will finish it, if we do a daf a week, in May of 2019 in between Pesach and Shavuot. That is not so far away, and we can do it. Number seven, let's go. If you open your Gemara in front of you, you will see a column of square text in the middle, bracketed by two smaller italicized commentaries to each side. The center text is the text of both the Mishnah and the Gemara. The text on the right side, which is closest to the binding, is Rashi, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, 11th century France, who wrote the quintessential commentaries on both the Torah and the Talmud. The outside text to the left of the Gemara text is Tosafot, a collection of sages in France and Germany in the generations following Rashi. Together, they make what we call Gemara Rashi Tosfos. And many people, when they learn, that is the preferred model of Gemara Rashi Tosfos. I will occasionally quote Rashi and less frequently Tosafot, but we will not be doing them inside. The image conveyed by the page arrangement is that of a soldier king, the text of the Gemara in the middle, surrounded by his Nosei Kelim, his armor bearers, Rashi and Tosfot. They serve and defend him as he goes out to wage the wars of the Torah. Number eight. At the very top of the page, if you look way up at the top of the page on the left-hand side, is a bolded Hebrew letter bet. This is the daf number of this page. Bet equals 2. So this is daf 2. As you notice, there is no daf aleph in this Gemara or in any Gemara. A historical reason for this might be that the first page was the frontispiece of the book, the shar, or gate. So the printers began the book with page 2. A more hashkafic explanation, one of many, is that we are never really beginners of the study of Torah, and we shouldn't feel like we're beginners. From the time we were fetuses in our mother's wombs, as the Gemara Nida teaches us, Hashem appointed an angel to teach us the Torah we would learn in our lives. Even if we've forgotten it since then, our job is not to begin from the beginning, but to reclaim that which we already once knew, which is our birthright. Therefore, we start daf bet, not daf aleph. Number 9. The page we are looking at is Daf Bet Amud Aleph. A single page, like the page in front of us, is called an Amud. If you flip that page, the backside of this Daf is Daf Bet Amud Bet. A Daf is a folio page, front and back. It's really two pages. If you flip the page, you'll see it on the top left of the opposite leaf is the letter Gimel, which is Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. If you flip that again, on the flip side will be Daf Gimel Amud Bet. So each Daf is really two pages, and so on and so forth. Number 10, back to the tour of our page. On the top line, going right from that bolded bet, we have three headings. The first one, Megillah, is the name of our tractate, which will be the same throughout the study. The second, Perek Rishon, tells us that we're in the first chapter, and that will change as we go through each of the four chapters of the tractate of Megillah. The third one, all the way on the right side, Megillah Nikrat, is the name of the chapter we're studying, usually named after the first one to three words of the first Mishnah, which is true in this case. Number 11. There are a lot of little footnotes in the text of the Gemara. We're going to ignore most of these so as not to confuse and slow ourselves down. But I want to point out that a few of these footnotes go to the upper left commentary, all the way up to the left, just below and to the left of the big bolded bet of Daf Bet, which tells us where to find the halacha, the law, in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. Also, some of the footnotes occasionally make emendations of the text, alternate readings by adding or subtracting words based on variant manuscripts. And I will occasionally mention those when we are going to use that reading. Number 12, one last thing. It is important to have a Tanakh on hand. The Gemara frequently quotes verses, and it is often necessary to look them up in order to get a proper understanding of what's going on. Newer printed Gemaras bring all the relevant verses in the margin of the page, so you can use those if you want to. But it's good to have all the verses available upon request and have a Tanakh ready so you can look up the verses, Hebrew or Hebrew and English. Last point. I hope we are inspired by our study of the Tractate of Megillah, Maseches Megillah. It's going to be hard work, but at the end, we will definitely feel that we earned that Siyum. We should feel that we understand more deeply than we did before. The Rambam, Maimonides, at the very end of Hilchot Megillah, refers to a midrash that, based on the verse at the end of Megillat Esther, "V'lo yasuf mizaram," they will never cease from their children. He writes that all the books of the Nevi'im and the Ketuvim will become batel, nullified, in the days of the Mashiach, except for Megillat Esther, which will remain like the five books of the Torah and like the laws of the oral tradition, which will never become batel. This tradition is that this book will endure longer than any other prophetic book in Tanakh. The Torah Tamima, Rabbi Baruch Halevi Epstein in the 19th century, he asked, what's so special about Purim that the Megillah should merit this distinction? It doesn't even mention Hashem's name. He answers that, as opposed to all the other holidays where Hashem's presence is obvious as the light of day, Purim is the holiday when we find God when he is hidden. There will always be times in a Jew's life and in the life of the Jewish people when we feel far away from Hashem. The Megillah and the study of the Megillah is the roadmap to finding Hashem when he is hidden. In our lives and in these confusing times, may our study of the Megillah open up the doors so that we feel closer to Hashem. Study well.